Thank you. Hello, everyone. And thanks for being with us today. Our speakers for the call are Stefan Tanda, our president and CEO, and Vanessa Kanu, our executive vice president and CFO. Our press release and accompanying slide deck have been posted on our website under the investor relations page. During this call, we will be discussing certain non-GAAP financial measures. These measures are reconciled to the most directly comparable GAAP financial measure, and the reconciliations are set forth in the press release. Please refer to the press release disseminated yesterday for reconciliations of non-GAAP measures to the most comparable GAAP measures discussed during this earnings call. As always, we will also post a replay of this call on our website. I would now like to turn the call over to Stefan. Stefan, over to you.
Thank you, Mary, and good morning, everyone. We appreciate you joining us on the call today. I will begin my remarks by highlighting our second quarter results. Later in the call, Vanessa Kanu, our CFO, will provide additional details on key drivers for the quarter. Starting on slide 3, we delivered a strong second quarter, exceeding the high end of our guidance range, delivering an adjusted earnings per share of $1.66, an increase of 18% over the prior year quarter. Each of our segments contributed to our growth in the quarter. Core sales increased, driven by our pharma and closure segments. We saw solid demand for our pharma segment's proprietary drug delivery systems used for emergency medicines, asthma, COPD, and ophthalmic treatments. Additionally, strong sales of elastomeric components for injectables and active materials, as well as royalties, helped drive our strong results. Demand for dispensing closures for sauces, salad dressings, and functional drinks also contributed positively to our quarterly results. Three of our divisions in pharma showed robust core sales growth this quarter. Prescription delivered a core sales increase of 8%, injectables 9%, and active material science solutions grew core sales by 11%. The exception was our consumer healthcare division, which continued to be impacted by softer demand for dispensing technologies in nasal saline and nasal decongestants. Consumer healthcare's two largest regions are Europe and North America. While sales in North America grew nicely, Europe has not yet recovered from the excess inventory due to a weaker cold and flu season. The visibility into future European demand for cold and cough medications has not improved meaningfully. A few weeks ago, we announced the acquisition of Mod3 Pharma's clinical trial manufacturing capabilities. This expands Aptar Pharma's services into highly specific CDMO fields supporting phase 1 and phase 2 GMP fill and finish services for orally inhaled nasal drug products, an area we view as a significant unmet market need. We believe this added capability will help accelerate adoption of our proprietary drug delivery devices and further strengthen our position as a preferred partner in early stage development. As a result of this acquisition, we now operate an FDA-inspected, state-of-the-art facility in New Jersey, featuring cGMP clean rooms, high-potency API suites, biologic capabilities, and advanced small-scale fill-finish technologies, fully aligned with our drug delivery portfolio. The acquisition is also expected to enable future expansion into dermal, ophthalmic, injectable, and packaging solutions powered by our Active Material Science division. Our closure segment had a great quarter. Bringing closures under one roof appears to be really paying off. Core sales have been spurred by a solid innovation pipeline, enabling the segment to grow faster than the industry while also improving utilization rates and managing costs to expand margins. We're energized by the future of the segment and the opportunities ahead. Now let me touch on beauty. Cost management is a well-developed muscle in the segment, and the beauty industry remains resilient and poised for sustained growth, driven by regional expansion, product innovation, and evolving consumer preferences. While prestige beauty has faced headwinds from trade uncertainties, which are slowing demand recovery despite a few encouraging signs, our growth in masstige fragrance is helping to offset some of that softness. Additionally, continued momentum in personal care, supported by a broad and globally relevant portfolio, reinforces the resilience of the segment. To further enhance the competitiveness of our industrial footprint, earlier this week, we executed a previously agreed-upon call option to increase the ownership in our BTY joint venture to 80%. While the JV assets are based in China and serve the broader Asia region, BTY brings highly specialized custom decoration capabilities that will also be leveraged at our flagship beauty facility in Oyonnax, France. Moving to slide 4, I'm proud to highlight recent corporate awards and recognitions. At the end of the quarter, Aptar was named one of Time magazine's World Most Sustainable Companies for the second year in a row. For this recognition, over 5,000 of the world's largest and most influential companies are assessed based on revenue, market capitalization, and public prominence. Only the top 10% were recognized with an award. Following the end of the quarter, Aptar was again named to CDP's Suppliers Engagement Assessment A-list for the 2024 disclosure cycle. This CDP assessment evaluates companies on their performance on governance, targets, Scope 3 emissions, and value chain engagement. Turning to innovation, I want to now highlight just a few recent technologies and product launches as shown on slide 5. Our recent innovation, the lateral control system, with a shorter nozzle and easy one-push-button actuation for precise dosing, is the dispensing solution of choice for Haleon's nasal Theraflu brand congestion relief in the U.S. This is Theraflu's first nasal decongestion product. I also wanted to cover a topic that spans both beauty and pharma markets. The combined dermocosmetics and medical aesthetics markets have been growing double digits over the past 5 years. According to IQVIA, these markets are expected to keep growing 2 to 3 points above the beauty market's average growth rate. We are addressing this fast-rising market with a range of solutions tailored to the needs of dermocosmetic brands. Our recently launched Pharma Beauty Derma series features a curated selection of high-performance packaging and dispensing solutions adapted perfectly to the specifications of the dermocosmetic market. Before I turn the call over to Vanessa to share further details of the quarter, I want to highlight that we continue to ramp up share purchases. For the first 6 months of the year, we repurchased approximately 1 million shares for about $150 million and returned about $210 million to shareholders through both dividends and share repurchases. Now I would like to turn the call over to Vanessa.
Thank you, Stefan, and good morning, everyone. Let me begin by summarizing the highlights for the quarter. Starting on slide 6, our reported sales increased 6%, which included a foreign currency translation tailwind of approximately 3%. Therefore, core sales grew 3% compared to the prior year period. As shown on slide 7, we achieved adjusted EBITDA of $218 million, an increase of 13% from the prior year. We reported adjusted earnings per share of $1.66 versus the prior year's $1.41 at comparable exchange rates. The effective tax rate for the second quarter was 20.0% compared to 23.5% in the prior year. The lower effective tax rate reflects the realization of a previously unrecognized tax loss benefit as part of our ongoing tax planning, as well as greater tax benefits from share-based compensation. Neutralizing for foreign currency effects and tax, adjusted earnings per share would have increased 13% over the prior year quarter. We should note that actual exchange rates and the effective tax rate for the quarter were comparable to the guidance provided on our last earnings call. With those high-level comments, let's take a closer look at segment performance. Turning to slide 8, our pharma segment's core sales increased 3%. Let me break that down by market, starting with our proprietary drug delivery systems. Prescription core sales increased 8%, driven by strong demand for dosing and dispensing technologies for emergency medicines, asthma, and COPD therapeutics, and royalty payments. Consumer healthcare core sales decreased 14%, primarily due to continued inventory management by customers in Europe, leading to softer demand for nasal decongestants and nasal saline rinse solutions. Sales for ophthalmic solutions continued to grow in the quarter, but could not offset the overall decline in cough and cold medicines. Injectables core sales increased 9%, with strong demand for elastomeric components used for biologics, GLP-1, small molecule, and antithrombotic applications contributing positively to the results. Services also contributed positively in the quarter. And for our active material science solutions, core sales increased 11%, driven by strong demand for our active film technology. Pharma's adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter was 35.4%, a 130 basis point improvement from the prior year. The margin improvement was driven by increased sales of higher value products, services, and royalties, as well as ongoing operational efficiencies. Moving to our beauty segment on slide 9, core sales increased 1% in the quarter, primarily driven by stronger tooling sales. Looking at the beauty segment by market, fragrance, facial skincare, and color cosmetics core sales decreased 4%, primarily due to lower sales of skincare dispensing products for indie brands, as well as muted customer demand for our prestige fragrance dispensing technologies, given tariff-related uncertainties. Core sales for masstige fragrance continue to show solid growth. Personal care core sales increased 11%. About half of the core sales increase can be attributed to tooling sales, as well as continued strong demand for body care and hair care applications. And core sales for home care were flat in the quarter. The beauty segment's adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter was 14.1%, an improvement of 20 basis points, largely attributed to ongoing cost management efforts. Moving to slide 10, our closures segment's core sales increased by 7% compared to the prior year. The segment saw product sales growth in key end markets across nearly all regions. When looking at the market fields for closures, food core sales increased 13%. Product sales for food were driven by strong demand across nearly all of the end market categories, including sauces, condiments, salad dressing, spreads and jellies, as well as food protection. Beverage core sales increased 7%, primarily driven by increased sales of functional drinks and bottled water. Personal care core sales decreased 4%, primarily due to lower tooling sales compared to the prior year. While in our other category, which includes beauty, home care, and healthcare, core sales increased 1%, driven by higher sales for dish and laundry care solutions. Closures adjusted EBITDA margin was 16.9%, representing a solid 130 basis point improvement over the prior year, primarily due to volume growth and continued cost management. At the total company level, due to ongoing cost reduction efforts, increased volumes, and improved revenue mix, consolidated gross margins expanded over 30 basis points in Q2 year over year, while SG&A as a percentage of sales declined from 16.4% last year to 15.6% this year, an 80 basis point reduction year over year. One thing I will note on SG&A, over the last few months, we have begun to incur costs related to litigating our pharma intellectual property rights. While the costs in Q2 were not material to highlight, we do anticipate legal fees associated with this effort to increase significantly, which I will speak to in the quarterly guidance section. Overall, with a strong gross margin and SG&A performance in Q2, consolidated adjusted EBITDA margins expanded by 140 basis points to 22.6% compared to 21.2% in the prior year. Slides 11 and 12 cover our year-to-date performance and show that both reported sales and core sales increased 2%. Our reported earnings per share increased 10%, and adjusted earnings per share increased 8% compared to the prior year, including comparable exchange rates. The current year had an effective tax rate of 22.5% compared to the prior year's effective tax rate of 22.1%. Neutralizing both the effective tax rate and the exchange rate for the year-ago period, adjusted earnings per share would have been up 9%. Additionally, during the six-month period, adjusted EBITDA margin increased by 130 basis points to 21.7%. In the first 6 months, free cash flow was $92 million, comprising cash from operations of $209 million, less capital expenditures, net of government grants of $117 million. free cash flow overall was in line with the prior year period. Finally, we ended June with a strong balance sheet once again, reflecting cash and short-term investments of nearly $170 million, net debt of $917 million, and a leverage ratio of 1.19. Now moving on to outlook, slide 13 summarizes our outlook for the third quarter. We anticipate third quarter adjusted earnings per share, which excludes any restructuring expenses, acquisition costs, changes in the unrealized fair value of equity investments, as well as an anticipated revaluation of our BTY investment, to be in the range of $1.53 to $1.61 per share. EPS for Q3 2025 reflects a negative impact of approximately 6 to 7 cents, driven by the elevated legal expenses that I mentioned previously, associated with litigating our pharma intellectual property rights. The effective tax rate for the third quarter is anticipated to be in the range of 20.5% to 22.5%. Our guidance for the quarter is assuming a 1.15 euro to US dollar exchange rate. With that, I will turn it over to Stefan to provide a few closing comments before we move to Q&A.
Thank you, Vanessa. We are pleased with the continued resilience and adaptability of our teams as they successfully navigated a dynamic second quarter. Despite the complex macroeconomic backdrop, we delivered strong performance and made meaningful progress across several strategic areas. In the second quarter, we saw some end markets pull forward order volumes from quarter three to avoid tariff uncertainties, as customers moved to secure inventory ahead of potential trade disruptions. At the same time, other markets, such as prestige fragrance, were impacted by broader uncertainty, leading to delays in new product launches, which also impacts our sampling business. Our nasal saline and decongestant dispensing solutions continue to face headwinds, and we expect these challenges to persist into the third quarter. So looking ahead for the third quarter, we anticipate continuing to navigate a diverse set of macroeconomic and supply chain conditions across our portfolio. In our pharma segment, we anticipate that injectables is poised for another strong quarter, continuing the positive product sales momentum we've seen all year, and we expect to finish the year strong. The industrial capabilities that we have added to our injectables division since 2020 are now contributing nicely to the business's growth. Within proprietary drug delivery systems, we want to call out two specific headwinds. We expect the cough and cold end markets in Europe to continue to face elevated inventory levels, while in the US, a market inflection point has already been reached. In emergency medicines, we anticipate challenging year-over-year comparisons as naloxone sales begin to normalize following a period of rapid growth. These products are distributed through non-traditional channels, making restocking patterns very difficult to monitor and predict. While most funding for naloxone remains at the state level, recent federal guidance, such as the executive order discouraging federal funding for harm reduction programs, has introduced additional uncertainty that may affect future demand. In the medium to long term, we continue to believe in the strength of our pharma pipeline, which is growing and expanding into new areas, including systemic nasal drug delivery. As a recent example, just last week, a study conducted by Wake Forest University School of Medicine, in collaboration with Aptar, was released, demonstrating that intranasal insulin delivered using Aptar's precision nasal spray system successfully reached 11 key brain regions associated with memory and cognition in older adults. This was confirmed through PET or positron emission tomography imaging, marking the first direct evidence that active compounds like insulin administered through the nose can reach targeted areas of the brain, an essential step for developing effective Alzheimer's treatments. The study also emphasized that this delivery method could be adapted for other neurological treatments, reinforcing the potential of nose-to-brain drug delivery as a transformative route for central nervous system therapies. The growing recognition of the respiratory system as a viable delivery route for targeted therapies is very exciting for us and will be a substantial future growth platform for our pharma business. In beauty enclosures, we expect a positive contribution in Q3 Continued product sales growth in closures is expected to be dampened somewhat by lower tooling sales. And the key question in beauty remains around the timing of the rebound in prestige fragrance dispensing systems. Our data and customer conversations indicate that some clients are operating at very low inventory levels, awaiting clarity on tariffs. Last weekend's announcement of the US-EU trade deal should provide the much-needed clarity to our European clients, but the development is too recent to have been incorporated in our quarter three guidance. Across all segments, cost discipline remains a top priority. We continue to explore and execute initiatives that can meaningfully enhance earnings per share. In summary, while macroeconomic, supply chain, and public policy factors may temper revenue in certain end markets, we anticipate continuing to build on the momentum we have established over the past 2+ years and are well positioned for continued growth. With that, I would like to open up the call for your questions.